The title of my message this morning is My Covenant. My Covenant. So let's turn to Isaiah 59:21. Well, I want to read it, and then we'll go to some other scriptures, and then we'll come back later to Isaiah 59:21. Isaiah 59:21, and I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. All right. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens. Now that's the Holy Spirit. It is God, the Holy Ghost, that gives life. We cannot give ourselves life. We can't give ourselves a new heart. We can't circumcise our heart. We can't, well, without what the Lord said in John 15:5, without me ye can do nothing. Now nothing means nothing. Can't do anything. There's not one thing that we can do to help ourselves from the miserable fallen shape that we're all in by nature. You can try to turn over a new leaf, but the wind will come along and blow it right back over. The sow will always return to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog will always return to his vomit by their nature. That's just what they are. It is the Spirit that gives life. Now, everything that the Scripture requires of us, everything that accompanies life, life is their antecedent to whatever it is. Faith. The dead cannot believe. Now, we go over there on the point to that graveyard over there and yell down into that ground as loud as we want to, "Do you believe?" And there's nobody going to say anything to us. Because they're dead. They have no faculties of life. The dead knoweth nothing. Dead is dead. It is the Spirit that gives life. Before you can believe, before you can hear, before you can repent, before you can do anything, before you can believe that you're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ alone, void of all works of your own, you have to have life. So what does that tell us? Well, we can look in our, we can ask ourselves, do I believe? That's simple, isn't it? What's my only hope? When I think of the judgment to come, and we're all going, and of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel, where do I find hope? If it's in the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as being our only justifying righteousness and that which brings us in accepted by God the Father, that's what it is to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I believe that, then I must have life. And God only gives life to His elect. He don't give it to everybody. God only gives life to His covenant people whom He has loved from everlasting with an everlasting love, and therefore by loving kindness He reaches out and fetches them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And gives them faith.
Yeah.
And then when they hear the gospel, they say, that's it. That's just the truth, and I don't want to hear any. I don't want to hear all the rest of your stories. I don't want to hear that story from you got to land. You got to do this. You got to do that. You must do. You must do. You must do. No, you must do nothing. You must trust by the gift of God, which you didn't go out and get. He brought it to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt be saved. You have been saved from eternity in the covenant by God the Father. You were saved at Calvary by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are being saved. The Holy Spirit is bringing you along day by day by working that faith in your heart where He put it in the first place and causing you to walk in His statutes. I'll give them a new spirit, and they shall walk in my... They'll keep my statutes, my judgments. So, back to John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, not ourselves. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thine own name give glory. Psalm 115:1, I believe. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now this body is not redeemed. It's not redeemed. It's the flesh, that which is born of the flesh, is flesh. And in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now the flesh, when God first created man in His own likeness and in His image, in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, He created him a natural body, and it lay before Him dead. Just clay, just elements of the earth, all mixed up as it pleased the Lord, according to His infinite knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. He took of the elements of earth and made an earthy man. And that earthy man was dead. But then the Lord blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And that soul took up that body. So we're not a body that has a soul. We're a soul that has a body. That's who we are. And until the Lord comes along, when we fell in Adam, we died spiritually. Now, I don't know if it's correct to say that our soul died or not, but anyway, I know we're dead spiritually. We died in the Spirit to God. We had no no ability to discern God, no ability, no desire to try to please God, no desire for fellowship with God. As a matter of fact, our mind is only enmity against God, continual hostility against the God of the Bible. Although we may love the God that we imagine in our own hearts, we probably love Him, but we don't love the God of the Bible. And that's because we're dead to Him. Dead spiritually. So the Spirit of God comes along and gives life to us. Puts life in us. And He does it by the gospel. He does it by the gospel. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak unto you, my soul, look at this. They are spirit. Life is in the Word. These words are not dead. There's life in these words. But hearing the bare word won't bring life. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the elect of God to take the word and use it as that spiritual soul, spiritual seed or graft, and graft it into their heart. Then it's life. When the Holy Spirit applies the Word to our heart. When He gives it to us in our heart. Look at Ephesians, look at Philippians. Hold your place there in John. Look at Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the Word of life. That I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now we hold forth the Word of God, and what is that, or the Word of life, and what was it that Paul held forth? It's the gospel. That's the Word of life. Look at, look at 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, that inconceivable one. That one that no man can know by his own power and divination. That holy one. That infinite one, that eternal one, that which was from the beginning, our Lord Jesus Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and He's talking about natural eyes, natural ears here, because He's talking about a tangible Christ that might be touched and talked to and listened to and looked at. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. There's life. My people have committed two iniquities. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, or the fountain of life, and have made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. All right, back to John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. Has the Lord spoke to any of us? If the Lord speaks to you by the preaching of the gospel, through this word, you will live. Everyone the Lord speaks to by His Spirit, they live. And how do you know you're alive? Well, you believe. Thou art the, Peter, that was Peter's testimony. The Lord asked the disciples, "Whom do men say I am?" They said, "Well, some say you're Elias, and one of the old prophets raised from the dead, and this and that." He looked at Peter and said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Mm-hmm. Who is He to you? Who is He to me? To me, He is the Christ. Mm-hmm. And I believe He is to you, the Son of the living God. The words that I speak unto you, and He speaks to us by His Spirit. They are Spirit, and they are life. Now look at James 1:18. James 1:18. Of His own will. There's only one free will in this universe, and that's God's will. Of His own free will begat He us with the word of truth. Well, we were begotten by our fathers by a seed planted. Well, this is the seed, the word. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Turn on over to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now go back to James, chapter 1, verse 21. Now I graft some apple trees every now and then. I take a root of a crab apple tree or whatever I can find, and I graft a wine sap or a Macintosh or some other kind of a desirable apple into that root, and it, voila, it grows. And I get apples according to the graft. Well, look at this. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word. Who does the ingrafting? It's the Holy Ghost. But you know a strange thing on that grafting? Well, we're an unprofitable thing, and we're grafted into a profitable root. That just turned around from my apple trees. It's contrary to nature. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word. That's what we do. We just receive what God is pleased to put in us. That life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the word of God. You believe the gospel? That's His promise to you. Look at John. We'll go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Nicodemus had come by night to visit the Lord and said, said, "We know you're a teacher come from God, because nobody can do the things that you do except God be with him." I mean, you give them too much evidence. You have to be of the Lord. We know that. We're not blind to those natural evidences. We got ears to hear what you do naturally. All those evidences, they prove that you're of God. And the Lord said, "Well, Nicodemus, you must be born again." Nicodemus, he was at a loss. He didn't know what in the world the Lord was talking about. He said, "What do you mean? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again?" And the Lord said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind, or the breath of God, or the Holy Spirit." And that's what the word wind is, the breath. It's a breeze. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not see from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." You can see the effects. You can watch the trees wave outside and you say, "Well, the wind's raising. Wind is up." But you don't see the wind. You see what it does to the trees. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? It is the Holy Spirit that takes that seed of the Word of God, the gospel, and engrafts that into our heart. And His engrafts always take." Some of my grafts fail, but His never does. They always live. Now look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short." Now those people were those Hebrew, early Hebrew Christians were being assaulted always by Satan and other Jews to revert to Judaism. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Us heard it, them did not. But the word preached did not profit them, being not mixed with faith in them that hear it." Well, they didn't believe. Well, why didn't they believe? Because the Lord didn't give it to them to believe. "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of the Father." John 6:63 or 6:65. So if we believe the gospel, it's because Christ Jesus spoke to us through the preaching of the gospel, through His word. The Holy Spirit took that word and grafted it into our heart, and it grew. Brought life. And we believe. Well, now, to some, the preaching of the gospel is savor of death unto death. They despise it. To most, by far the most, especially in our day, gospel's despised. Because it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah 49:7. Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to him whom man despiseth. People say, well, I love the Lord Jesus. Well, you love the Lord Jesus of your imagination. You love that little Lord Jesus that's asleep on the hay that loves everybody and just wouldn't hurt a flea. But you don't love the Lord Jesus of the Bible. Man hateth him because he's the sovereign Lord. He's the ruler of this universe. Nothing moves without his direction. Good, bad, or ugly as we view it, it's for his eternal purpose. And everything that happens on this globe is for his glory. It's for his glory. It'll wind up in the end being to his glory. The damnation of the wicked will be for the glory of his inflexible truth and justice and holiness. And the salvation of the elect will be to the glorification of his grace, mercy in the Lord Jesus. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and the Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth. Well, people can say what they want to. The Bible says that natural man hates God. And he does. Back to Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Well, the Holy Spirit has to give faith. He has to give life before anybody can believe. And therefore, it not being mixed with that life that has to come from the Holy Spirit, the word preached profited them nothing. You can read the Bible through 49 times. And until you're visited by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to mean anything to you. You won't see Christ. You won't see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You'll see a bunch of rules to keep, and you'll get meaner than a snake watching everybody around you not keeping the rules, and so you get out your whip and start beating on people. That's what religion without Christ will do for you. Get you so self-righteous you squeak. Oh, me. All right. Well, let's go to Isaiah 59:21. Isaiah 59:21. Now, I'd like to make a little comparison here to this and Romans 11. But then I want to bring out some truth from this. Romans 11. All right, look back at Isaiah, and hold your finger here in both places. I guess that'll require two fingers. Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Well, now, first of all, what is required for a transgressor to turn from transgression? Well, we know it requires the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give them a new life, a new heart, to cause them to walk in the statutes, to walk in the path of the Lord. We know that. So if anybody turns from transgression in Jacob, it's because the Spirit's been given them.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what brings that on? And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. All right, now turn over to John, to Paul's statement of this in Romans 11. I'm going to read verse 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits. And a lot of the Gentiles are, I believe. That blindness in part hath happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, who blinded Israel in the first place? Well, look back up at verse 5, Romans 11, 5. Even so, at this time, there is a remnant according to the election, according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more works, no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more of grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Who blinded them? The Lord did. Why? To bring in the Gentiles. Look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. All right, let's go back to Romans 11, 26. And so then all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion. Now Isaiah said there shall come to Zion. Well, he came to us first. He came to us when he came and hung on that cross. He came to the church. And he cut Israel off. Except for a remnant, according to the election of grace. Blinded all the rest. Shut their eyes. And there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Us and them. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, I believe that there's a revival out there that this world ain't heard of. And there's going to be multiplied thousands of gods of the Jews that's going to be saved. They're not going to rebuild the temple and all that business. That's not necessary. But they are going to be look to Jesus Christ. And they're going to mourn for Him.
Yeah.
Look at Zechariah 12:10. I think's where it is that I want to go here. Zechariah 12:10. Yeah. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Now, He pours that out on His church today. And they shall look upon Me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one as that is in bitterness for his firstborn. When did Joseph's brethren return to him? It's after he's already established in Egypt and had children of a Gentile woman. Then his brethren returned. They didn't know him, but he knew them. All right, back to let me see here if I'm let me look and see if I'm done here. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. In order to get the gospel to the Gentiles, He blinded the Jews. Now, who can do that? Well, God can do that. Why does He do that? Because He's God. And that's what He determined to do. And He didn't have to ask anybody about it. He didn't have to consult with Abraham Lincoln or nobody else. He did according to His will. He's of one mind, and who can turn Him? And whatsoever His soul desireth, that He doeth. as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake.
Yeah.
Look at chapter 9, verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. God always works according to His purpose of election. He blinded the Jews and brought in the Gentiles. And the day's coming when he's going to visit His ancient people. And there's a revival out there. And it won't be brought on by Jimmy Swaggart. God has visited and is and will visit again this earth in His power. And He's going to fetch His people. He's going to bring them out. Now look at, let's go to Isaiah 59:20. And all that's my introduction. No, I won't. I'll get through this as quickly as I can. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, now this is the Lord speaking, as for me, this is my determination, this is what I am resolved upon, and this has been my determination from everlasting. I've never had any other thought. This is it. As for me, this is my covenant with them, His elect people out of every nation, whether it's a Jew or a Gentile, of what time, whether it's from the cross up to His second coming or beyond. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit which is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That's the same thing. The Holy Spirit, it requires what is necessary for to give life. God engrafts that word into our heart by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what keeps this church alive. And He does it for those whom the Father chose in eternity past and who Jesus Christ purchased by His precious blood at Calvary.
Yeah.
And it cannot fail. It will not fail.
No.
Everyone that the Lord has loved and given to His Son, and everyone the Son redeemed, the Holy Spirit will effectually call. And if He speaks to you,
amen,
you'll live.
Yeah.
And you won't have a thing to do about it. And you'll just have to say, salvation is of the Lord. Let's turn to one other place. Turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Amen. Salvation's of the Lord.